at all. I'm just going to have a little telling of the story so that we might, and acting out the story as we take communion together. We'll explain that as we go through, if you're visiting, how we're going to do things here today, which will be different even for the people that are normally here. So there you go. This Easter week, we've been considering the suffering Saviour. And it's quite strange for many people to realise that God has suffered and suffers for the world. We believe, we'll sing a little bit later, in a suffering Saviour. Saviour who's alive, but also has suffered. And a Saviour who's coming back again. We were thinking on Thursday how he took the cup of suffering. He drank that cup, and Philippe mentioned to that. And he bore the pain and the suffering of the whole world. And he has experienced that himself. And that was why it was the darkest day in many ways on the day of his crucifixion. Jesus drinking the cup of humanity's sufferings. We've had two points of reflection, the cross and the tomb, the empty tomb. And even in our prayers for the world, we're thinking about what we really believe in and what we'd be prepared to die for. That's a test of what you believe, what you would be prepared to die for. These are historical events. They're not fairy tales, although we can tell the story as we've done today in many ways. We've been thinking in these days with Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, the arrest, the crucifixion, the death, the entombment, about all of these things. And today we think about the resurrection, the bodily resurrection, Jesus coming alive in the body by the powerful Holy Spirit. And these are very powerful visual focuses. And also now we have another focus, which is bread and wine. Not alcoholic wine in this case. Bread and wine. We read what happened in the Last Supper, and we see how the Last Supper has become the Lord's Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples. "Take and eat it," he said. "This is my body." So it represented his body. Then he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them. "Drink it, all of you," he said. "This is my blood." So he gave his lifeblood, which seals God's covenant. It makes a new relationship with God. "My blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you," says Jesus, "I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Mary Flynn wants to go in the group. It would be, he'd be down in the big one. He's more than eight, isn't he? Yeah, he'd be in the big kids. So, today we reflect on the resurrection. Humanity's fall from grace, and now it's flight into grace, ascending with Jesus. We are experiencing not just death, but resurrection. His disciples, who had slunk away in fear and horror and despair, and now they begin to climb in hope and the beginnings of belief at the appearance and the words of the risen Jesus. And there are many appearances written about in the Bible. And not just in the days of the Bible, but people now who are followers of Jesus that believe that Jesus is alive. And in fact, you can only take the bread and wine today if you believe Jesus is alive and that you have asked him to come into your life. That's the condition. You can come from any Christian church, but if you believe that Jesus is alive and you've already given your life to him, then you can take the bread and the wine. Otherwise, be a bit of a spectator. Feel a part, but think, oh, this is interesting. What are these people saying? Jesus is really alive now. So we retell the story, something Jesus calls us to do as followers of him. And he told us to remember and to retell the story every time we take bread and wine, every day of our lives, in fact, whenever we break bread together. And even today, as we share together in this communion meal, we are symbolically retelling the story. The bread and the wine on the table represent human life made by the hand of God. the bread broken, the body of Jesus broken for us, the wine poured, his life poured out in a sacrifice. We eat and drink together because we're now part of a body. We're not on our own. We are his body on earth. Philip said, Jesus is in heaven. Well, of course, he's ascended to the heavens. But Jesus is powerfully at work in all the earth through his body. Jesus is here with us. So he's not just in heaven. Jesus is with us on the earth. He's not just seated on a throne up there. He is with us on the earth. And we eat and drink to remember the new covenant, that we've come into an everlasting relationship with God that binds us to God and to one another, much more than blood brothers and sisters. We are bound together with the blood of Jesus. And we only eat this meal until Jesus comes back. And so we're ready in Passover style, wearing our shoes. So if you slipped your shoes off, it doesn't really matter. But it means that we're ready to get up and to go with the good news to other people. And we're here today so that we might be better able to live and work in the world telling other people about Jesus. This isn't a secret society, right? This is a message that needs to go out to other people. Today, we're going to move slightly out of the box, and we're going to drink the cup. We have these little ones here, so very healthy. First of all, together, as we're seated, and two people are going to come and offer you the cup. And then later, you will come and people will offer you a piece of bread that you can go and share with somebody else. And if you want to pray with them, you can do that. Or if you just want to encourage them or say, it's nice to meet you, that's fine. You can go and fellowship together. We're companions, which means those who break the bread in French style. Companion. We share the bread, the pan. And because we are alive and not just sitting and waiting for something to happen, things will happen. Jesus is alive. We are his followers sent out into the world. As the Father sent me, says Jesus, so I'm sending you. Does it matter, you think? Oh, I've never drunk the cup first. You always have the bread, the wafer first. Does it matter? Well, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 to 17, there Paul talks about the cup first and the bread afterwards. So you're all right. It's in the Bible. You can do that. And it's all going to mix up in your tummy anyway. And it's his body, his blood. So the cup is mentioned first in Corinthians before the bread. If you're offered the cup and you believe Jesus is alive and that you've invited him to come and live in your life, then you're welcome to take the cup. If you're still making your mind up at the moment, you're agnostic, you're not yet sure, well then just say, not for the moment, thank you. When it comes to taking the bread, I'm quite at peace when you're offered that. If you want to take the bread, please do. It's not magical bread, it is a symbol of Jesus, but if you haven't yet asked the Lord into your life, if you don't know that he is alive, then please just leave the cup out of respect and wait for the time when you really do believe that. You're going to have a chance, and I'll say that as we go through, to steer you through this, to go and pray with someone. At the end of that little passage, Jesus talks about death, but he starts to look to the future. Easter is not morbid. When it gets to the resurrection, this is my blood which seals God's covenant, he says, my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Where we have failed God, where we have let God down, where we have not shown love to others as we should have done, where we've failed God and we have all sinned, God brings us forgiveness. And then Jesus says, I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom. And Jesus is focusing on the kingdom. He's got to go through the crucifixion. He's got to believe that there is joy on the other side and that what he's doing has purpose. And he focuses on the kingdom. And he starts to say, my fellowship with the Father will be restored and with you. Was Jesus looking ahead just to his resurrection or actually to the great banquet? Well, I believe both, because we're told when Jesus comes back again, millions and millions and millions and millions of people will be in that great banquet, from every tribe and nation, from every age and generation. And God is inviting everybody to that banquet. Whatever faith people are, he says, come to Jesus. If they have no faith, he says, come to Jesus. Right? But he's inviting everyone to that banquet. And this is no longer the Passover. This is now the Lord's Supper, that lasting ordinance. We don't need to kill animals or sacrifice animals. Jesus has died once. And Jesus is anticipating the kingdom of God. And when we eat this meal, excuse us if we get really excited, it's because this is just the entree. This is just the starter. This is the antipasto. Okay? This is the hors d'oeuvre. This is just the beginning. This is a taster, right? Before the great banquet. It's wonderful, and it whets our appetite for greater fellowship. It is just Jesus, meanwhile, sits at the table with his friends. And as we continue to follow Jesus and take part with God's people in going and inviting other people, we're praying that horrible people will be changed. Respectable people will become radical. And we will all change. And that there will be a transformation. So this meal is about anticipating the kingdom, thanking Jesus for what he has done, believing he is alive, but also anticipating all that he has yet to do. So let us just pause for a moment and give our own thank yous. Those will be silent ones. So in your heart, give thanks to Jesus that he died not just for the whole world, but for you and for me, so that I might know God and be with God forever. So just a moment's silence. Don't worry if children make a noise during that. I mean silence in our hearts at all. Just going to have a little telling of the story, so that we might, and acting out the story as we take communion together. We'll explain that as we go through, if you're visiting, how we're going to do things here today, which will be different even for the people that are normally here. So there you go. This Easter week, we've been considering the suffering Saviour. And it's quite strange for many people to realise that God has suffered and suffers for the world. We believe, we'll sing a little bit later, in a suffering Saviour. Saviour who's alive, but also has suffered. And a Saviour who's coming back again. We were thinking on Thursday how he took the cup of suffering. He drank that cup, and Philippe mentioned to that. And he bore the pain and the suffering of the whole world. And he has experienced that himself. And that was why it was the darkest day in many ways on the day of his crucifixion. Jesus drinking the cup of humanity's sufferings. We've had two points of reflection, the cross and the tomb, the empty tomb. And even in our prayers for the world, we're thinking about what we really believe in and what we'd be prepared to die for. That's a test of what you believe, what you would be prepared to die for. These are historical events. They're not fairy tales, although we can tell the stories we've done today in many ways. We've been thinking in these days with Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, the arrest, the crucifixion, the death, the entombment, about all of these things. And today we think about the resurrection, the bodily resurrection, Jesus coming alive in the body by the powerful Holy Spirit. And these are very powerful visual focuses. And also now we have another focus, which is bread and wine, not alcoholic wine in this case. Bread and wine. We read what happened in the Last Supper, and we see how the Last Supper has become the Lord's Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples. "Take and eat it," he said. "This is my body." So it represented his body. Then he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them. "Drink it all. This is my blood." So he gave his lifeblood, which seals God's covenant. It makes a new relationship with God. "My blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I tell you, says Jesus, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Mary, if Liam wants to go in the group, it would be he'd be down in the big one. He's more than eight, isn't he? Yeah, he'd be in the big kids. So, today we reflect on the resurrection. Humanity's fall from grace, and now it's flight into grace, ascending with Jesus. We are experiencing not just death, but resurrection. His disciples, who had slunk away in fear and horror and despair, and now they begin to climb in hope and the beginnings of belief at the appearance and the words of the risen Jesus. And there are many appearances written about in the Bible, and not just in the days of the Bible, but people now who are followers of Jesus that believe that Jesus is alive. And in fact, you can only take the bread and wine today if you believe Jesus is alive and that you have asked him to come into your life. That's the condition. You can come from any Christian church, but if you believe that Jesus is alive and you've already given your life to him, then you can take the bread and the wine. Otherwise, be a bit of a spectator. Feel a part, but think, oh, this is interesting. What are these people saying? Jesus is really alive now. So we retell the story, something Jesus calls us to do as followers of him. And he told us to remember and to retell the story every time we take bread and wine, every day of our lives, in fact, whenever we break bread together. And even today, as we share together in this communion meal, we are symbolically retelling the story. The bread and the wine on the table represent human life made by the hand of God. The bread broken, the body of Jesus broken for us. The wine poured, his life poured out in a sacrifice. We eat and drink together because we're now part of a body. We're not on our own. We are his body on earth. Philippe said, Jesus is in heaven. Well, of course, he's ascended to the heavens. But Jesus is powerfully at work in all the earth through his body. Jesus is here with us. So he's not just in heaven. Jesus is with us on the earth. He's not just seated on a throne up there. He is with us on the earth. And we eat and drink to remember the new covenant, that we've come into an everlasting relationship with God that binds us to God and to one another, much more than blood brothers and sisters. We are bound together with the blood of Jesus. And we only eat this meal until Jesus comes back. And so we're ready in Passover style, wearing our shoes. So if you've slipped your shoes off, doesn't really matter. But it means that we're ready to get up and to go with the good news to other people. And we're here today so that we might be better able to live and work in the world telling other people about Jesus. This isn't a secret society, right? This is a message that needs to go out to other people. Today, we're going to move slightly out of the box, and we're going to drink the cup. We have these little ones here, so very healthy. First of all, together, as we're seated, and two people are going to come and offer you the cup. And then later, you will come and people will offer you a piece of bread that you can go and share with somebody else. And if you want to pray with them, you can do that. Or if you just want to encourage them or say, it's nice to meet you, that's fine. You can go and fellowship together. We're companions, which means those who break the bread in French style. Companion. We share the bread, the pan. And because we're alive and not just sitting and waiting for something to happen, things will happen. Jesus is alive. We're his followers sent out into the world. As the Father sent me, says Jesus, so I'm sending you. Does it matter, you think? Oh, I've never drunk the cup first. You always have the bread, the wafer first. Does it matter? Well, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 to 17, there Paul talks about the cup first and the bread afterwards. So you're all right. It's in the Bible. You can do that. And it's all going to mix up in your tummy anyway. And it's his body, his blood. So the cup is mentioned first in Corinthians before the bread. if you're offered the cup and you believe Jesus is alive and that you've invited him to come and live in your life, then you're welcome to take the cup. If you're still making your mind up at the moment, you're agnostic, you're not yet sure, well then just say, not for the moment, thank you. When it comes to taking the bread, I'm quite at peace when you're offered that. If you want to take the bread, please do. It's not magical bread, it is a symbol of Jesus. But if you haven't yet asked the Lord into your life, if you don't know that he is alive, then please just leave the cup out of respect and wait for the time when you really do believe that. You're going to have a chance, and I'll say that as we go through to steer you through this, to go and pray with someone. At the end of that little passage, Jesus talks about death, but he starts to look to the future. Easter is not morbid when it gets to the resurrection. This is my blood, which seals God's covenant, he says. My blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Where we have failed God, where we have let God down, where we have not shown love to others as we should have done, where we've failed God and we have all sinned, God brings us forgiveness. And then Jesus says, I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom. And Jesus is focusing on the kingdom. He's got to go through the crucifixion. He's got to believe that there is joy on the other side and that what he's doing has purpose. And he focuses on the kingdom. And he starts to say, my fellowship with the Father will be restored and with you. Was Jesus looking ahead just to his resurrection or actually to the great banquet? Well, I believe both, because we're told when Jesus comes back again, millions and millions and millions and millions of people will be in that great banquet from every tribe and nation, from every age and generation. And God is inviting everybody to that banquet. Whatever faith people are, he says, come to Jesus. If they have no faith, he says, come to Jesus. Right? But he's inviting everyone to that banquet. And this is no longer the Passover. This is now the Lord's Supper, that lasting ordinance. We don't need to kill animals or sacrifice animals. Jesus has died once. And Jesus is anticipating the kingdom of God. And when we eat this meal, excuse us if we get really excited, it's because this is just the entree. This is just the starter. This is the antipasto. Okay, this is the hors d'oeuvre. This is just the beginning. This is a taster, right, before the great banquet. It's wonderful, and it whets our appetite for greater fellowship. It is just Jesus, meanwhile, sits at the table with his friends. And as we continue to follow Jesus and take part with God's people in going and inviting other people, we're praying that horrible people will be changed. Respectable people will become radical. And we will all change. And that there will be a transformation. So this meal is about anticipating the kingdom, thanking Jesus for what he has done, believing he is alive, but also anticipating all that he has yet to do. So let us just pause for a moment and give our own thank yous. Those will be silent ones. So in your heart, give thanks to Jesus that he died not just for the whole world, but for you and for me, so that I might know God and be with God forever. So just a moment's silence. Don't worry if children make a noise during that. I mean silence in our hearts.